Welcome to the Shelter Footycast. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, taking you through all the big stuff in the AFL of the week gone by and coming up ahead. Skeeter, we've got a Patreon now, mate. Are you excited?
I've never heard the term Patreon, but I'm on board with you, Scoey. If you take me to the promised land, I'm there.
VIP content, discounts, and much more. Backchatstudios.com.au to sign up as a VIP.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh yeah, here we go. Shelter Footycast live from Backchat Studios. We're on the Backchat set today. Skeeter said, I've had enough of the Footycast set. I need to be back on the big set, and we've done it for him. No worries, Skeet. We make things move for you, mate. Good to see you on this Wednesday morning, Skeet.
It is, yeah. Just fitting our life around your travelling arrangements. So that's the main thing. As long as you can get to South Australia, do some work and get on the gas. That's essentially, thanks to Shelter, what we're here for, to make sure you can do whatever you please. And I'll just fit around, a bit like Alex, your wife. Just fit around whatever the hell you want to do.
That's very good from you, Skeet. I knew I'd throw something at you and have something coming straight back. Very good. Shelter Footycast on Instagram. Loving the follows and subscriptions and views. We're jumping over on YouTube, Skeeter. It's gone through the roof.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's good. No, I'm really happy. And it, we have a lot of fun. Speaking of social media,
can you ask this on live on air,
this
please?
Is true. Like, it's X, of course, now. And I do follow for news. I'm getting a lot of explicit sort of
explicit content,
sexual content sort of coming up on my screen. Now, I don't subscribe to this. Can you tell me why I'm suddenly getting vision of women's heads sort of bobbing up and down? All this is stuff that I'm going, why is it coming my way?
Let me tell you, right? There is something within your phone that understands your brain and it knows what you want. It knows exactly what you want. Well, you're not liking it.
Well, no. Well, what about these friend requests I get on Facebook from some of these delightful young ladies I've never seen or heard of, and they're wearing nothing? What do I do? Do I just say delete?
They're just coming for Mark Reddings, mate. They're just like, can someone give me
anyway, it's very flattering.
A 50-plus media operator in Perth. Can someone shackle me up with him?
Yeah. What about the girls that actually from, say, Ireland? They put a picture, I need some accommodation in Perth for 2 months, and they're wearing, you know, bikinis. And I'm thinking, not sure Vic's going to buy this.
Suddenly, Skeeter's got a boarding house full of Instagram
backpackers.
Oh, I don't know if we can do the show after that. That is very good.
I'm confused.
Skeeter and our listeners and our viewers, if you'd like more of that absolute pooperama from Mark Reddings, I've got something very exciting to tell you. We are relaunching the Backchat Ale, brewed for Backman, live at the Leadable Hotel, April 18th, which is 2 Thursdays away.
And 2 days before the Derby.
That is right. It's a Derby preview that you and I will be running. I know this might be the first time you're learning about this, Skeeter.
Yeah.
But we'll be up on stage running us through the Derby. We'll have special guests from both sides up with us. Do we know who they are yet? We're just keeping it a bit of a secret, Skeeter. But that'll be from 6 p.m. There's a game of footy on as well, so we'll be working around that. Come down to the Leadable Hotel, have some shelters with us, and run through the Derby. Skeeter, are you excited about this?
I am. I'm looking forward to it. Can't believe we're almost, no, that's a couple of weeks away, but the Derby will be here around 6. The season is just flying by already.
I expect a physical Derby this year, by the way. There's no way West Coast and rock up, get done by 100 like the last Derby, and one, walk out with any respect from anybody, and two, Adam Simpson keeping his job. So it could be a fair bit on the line in this Derby without a win-loss. I think the respect levels within Western Australia may rear its head. So if you want to get involved, there'll be lots of giveaways, big prizes, special guests. Skeeter will run us through his X and Twitter feed. We'll chuck that up on the screen and he can commentate through there. You can grab your tickets on backchatstudios.com.au. You can find them there on our shop, or just jump on the link on Shelter Footycast on Instagram. You'll see the link in our bio. Ticket to $20. You might think, oh, $20, cost of living. You know what? We'll throw a pint of beer in. Mate, pint of beer at the moment is about square. $20. You're pretty much square. So come in. Come try our Backchat Ale. It's a ripping beer. If you've had that one, you'll know that. It's going to be a limited release with first availability to those at the live show. So, Skeet, make sure you get all your mates down there for that one and drink us out of all the piss like you do at the Shoe Bar. That'll be at the Leadville Hotel. Now, let's get into some big moments of the round, Skeet. Gather Round coming up. This is the biggest thing we're talking about right now. It clearly worked well last year, and I know people in Western Australia won't love that, but it was, I think, a great invention by the AFL, a great initiative.
Great steal.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, it's not their invention. But anyway.
Whose is it?
Well, it initially came from the NRL, who have got Magic Round that has been played up at Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane for many years, and they took it off Super League in the UK. So, look, they've stolen an idea, but there's very little that's new in those spaces. So, no, it's been terrific, and yeah, I think they've done it exceptionally well. You're about to experience it, and I think ideally, the AFL will want it to get to New South Wales at some point. But they'll also, I think, WA, hopefully, I know there's a couple of people going over there and are going to keep an eye on and speak to the officials in South Australia about how they're putting together the event and obviously with the idea of down the track, once we in the West apply to host it, that we can have the tools ready to go.
I did hear you tempt this on 6PR last night. So you've got inside information that people are going over there to... Take some notes on...
There's a couple of people that I won't reveal who they are, but they're involved in footy, just to have a look. Not to say it's part of a grand scheme to work out how to get the...
Because when is Gather Around signed till? 27, 26?
I think it's another two or three years. So it's not short term, and that's fine.
Where would you... If we talk about Perth, just say Perth applies and gets it. Where would you... They've got Mount Barker, they've got Norwood... Where would be the alternate stadiums? Because clearly Optus is one. Subiaco is no longer an option.
No.
I don't think the Wacker is viable.
It will be by the time that comes to Perth, potentially, I would have thought.
So the Wacker could be the secondary venue?
A secondary venue. MRP is Mineral Resources Park.
Leadville Oval?
It's surely in Mineral Resources Park's in better space. Crowd-wise, I'm not sure. But yeah, facilities-wise, dare I say it, Mandra, Lane Group Stadium.
Yeah.
In terms of if you've got to go to the regions in part.
You want to be able to get a decent crowd in there, don't you?
True.
You want somewhere where you can get a big crowd. So I think out of all those, I think Leadville Oval's the one you can get the biggest crowd at because you've got the natural grandstand on the far side, whereas Mineral Resources Park on the far side, there's no room for a crowd.
Well, so what do we get for the Waffle Grand Final, was it 2 years ago?
That was at South
West Road. Perth, Claremont. At Leadville. Yeah, that was a really good day. And yes. I think they had 15. Look, if you can get 15,000 in somehow, then that would be sufficient for, say, the Gold Coast and the Giants, for instance, as an example. And what's the Eagles Sydney going to draw at Mount Barker? I asked the question on the weekend, Saturday. You'll be there, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to both the West Coast and the Fremantle games.
Is that possible, in all seriousness, from Mount Barker to...
Yeah, it's a 30-minute drive.
Adelaide Oval.
So what I'm planning is heading over for the start of the West Coast game, and when that ledger tips over around 10 goals, which is probably halfway through the second quarter, I'm going to head over to the Freo game. We probably just will miss the end of the game, and we might just miss the start of the game at Freo. That is an interesting thing. I don't know how many people would be trying to get to every game. I don't know if that's...
Possible.
Yeah, like it would be. You wouldn't be able to get to every minute of every game, but it'd be pretty close to being able to get to a lot. Certainly from people that have been there before, it's a bit of a festival of footy. It's a bit of it's like an industry get-together. Everyone's there. Everyone's trying to catch up with everyone. We're trying to do some interviews over there. It's a bit of, I think it's good. And I think Perth could do it pretty well.
Absolutely. A few years away, though.
Let's talk footy. You and I had a discussion yesterday on 6PR. You're hosting Wild World of Sport over there at the moment, doing a great job as well in Adam Papalia's absence while he's off watching the wrestling like a child over in America. West Coast Eagles priority pick. So this is being floated. There's opinions on both ends here. Heard great of the game Lee Matthews come out saying they do deserve one. I've heard media types like Caroline Wilson, Sam McClure say that they don't deserve one. Where do you sit on this after two looking like a third year of complete uncompetitiveness from the West Coast Eagles? Do they deserve a priority pick?
Well, just going back to the Eagles' performances, it doesn't look, being a former player, and someone who talks about the Eagles a fair bit in the media, there's nothing worse than them playing horrendously for two seasons. Right. It's not great for us, no. And not great for footy in WA. So I want them to be better, don't get me wrong. Whether they deserve to get that priority pick, and I guess you can compare what they're talking about now with North Melbourne, how they've struggled for quite a considerable amount of time, and they've been gifted a lot of advantages when it comes to draft concessions. Do the Eagles deserve it, or is it a case of their performances have been the result of some bad list decisions?
Yes.
And since 2018, you win a premiership. I can't think of any other club that, you know, you go back through the last 30 years that have taken a bigger fall off the cliff as the Eagles. There's been none. Brisbane, when they won three in a row, a lot of clubs take a bit of a hit after premiership success, but not as profound as the Eagles. I understand that the reasoning, because the equality of the competition is paramount in the AFL's mind, and that's what Lee Matthews is coming from, but also you have to bear in mind, surely there has to be a responsibility of the club to get it right off and on the field. And if you think, well, if we have a couple of terrible years, then the AFL will bail us out. That's where I'm coming from. So do I think they deserve a priority pick? No, I don't. But nor do I think North Melbourne deserved priority picks. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
So that's where I come in. I think they do. Well, I think they will get a priority pick. And I think they probably do deserve a priority pick as it currently stands. Priority picks, the way we got into it last night was, well, it's on bad list decisions, as you've just said, and bad decisions by the football club. Absolutely it is. That's how everything happens in the AFL. That's why North Melbourne have been so poor. Bad decisions. That's why Essendon have been so poor. Bad decisions. Everything that ever happens is on the clubs. There's very little things that are uncontrollable.
Okay, but the Eagles' injuries have been horrendous.
Yeah, but you can make an argument for some, but some have been controllable. Some are within the club's scope. They've played players too early. They've
Haven't traded blokes when they could have, going back 2 or 3 years ago.
They're all decision-based things. So the way the priority system works, yeah, absolutely they deserve one, because that's what it's based on. They're trying to get a club more competitive. And as it stands, West Coast are uncompetitive, like not even close to competitive with anyone. Like they're the worst side in the competition by a long way. And that's why the priority pick exists.
Yeah, so what happens if North Melbourne, with what they've been given, if in 3 years they are in the bottom four of the competition, do you load up and give them some more? I'm just asking, because when does the lolly jar, when's it emptied?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, there's the priority picks and then there's the cash handouts effectively from the AFL. And they're two different issues. But, you know, you'd hope that bringing in an Alistair Clarkson, Sonia Hood as the president, list decisions they've made, trades they've made.
I mean, Jason Horne-Francis
correct
left, but that's not North's.
No, but well, they get what do they get for that? Two first rounders at least?
I think so, yeah.
Maybe three.
I'm not saying it's not their fault. Their lack of success.
That's their fault.
Jason might have.
It's their fault.
Their lack of success. If you can't tell me Jason Horne-Francis would have left that club if they were contending while he was there.
Yeah, so whose fault's that? That's North Melbourne's fault.
They were never going to contend once he was drafted.
No, that's right. But that, you know, that's like saying any top draftee to any poor club is never going to stay there. And that doesn't happen. You need to set up a culture that gives players hope. And I think that's a real risk at West Coast. If you're a good player right now...
Well, Tahali's the obvious one. Let's put this in play. He's got a two-year contract, I think that's right, isn't it?
I know everyone wants to talk about Harley, and that's fair enough, Skate. But I think it goes beyond that. If you're a good player coming towards your prime, Oscar Allen, captain of the club. They don't have a big list of really good players. But if you're a good player and you're looking at... You need hope. You need, okay, this is the plan. This is where we're going. This is who's leading us. And this is how we're going to have success. Right at this second, is there players within West Coast going, geez, I might have a look at what's going on at other footy clubs? An Elliot Yeo, a Tim Kelly, a McGovern, a Barras, like these are good players. Barras has just confirmed that he stayed with the club after being offered pretty big money at Sydney. So he's one that's looking for hope. But you continue playing the way you play and players will look around. It's guaranteed.
Yeah, but those players you mentioned, the ship has sailed. For those guys, with all due respects, their trade value or their benefit to other clubs, unless they're at the absolute in that premiership window.
Tim Kelly's going to be the top three midfielder at almost any club in the AFL. And you can think what you like, but yeah,
that's but we know his circumstances are specific to Perth, given family. So
I think Elliot Yoldy's best. Same thing.
Elio probably, yeah, he's still a very.
I think
very
Tom Barrass would be in the top two key defenders in any club in the AFL. So they all have value. Tom Barrass off the market, but there's players at West Coast that would have value, and I just think playing the way they do. Yeah, we've gone off track from the priority.
But anyway, I'm not sold on it. I don't say that they won't get it, and they don't want to get it in the sense of because if you're looking at a priority,
they want to get it.
No, you don't want to get it because if you're in that space, you're winning two or three games this year. That's what you know. What I'm saying
that's
but I'm saying in round three, you're not thinking winning. A couple
if they
of
win three games, it's an incredibly positive year from where they are right now, Skeeter. Let's move on to Fremantle. Let's move on to Fremantle. Fremantle v Carlton at Adelaide Oval. Big game. First big test, I think, for Fremantle, and probably the same for Carlton. They beat Brisbane at the Gabba, which is a very big win.
But so did Fremantle.
Not at the Gabba. But
no, but they've still beaten both people.
It's a good point. It's a good point. I think this is close to the match of the round, this one.
Yeah.
Really huge for Freo. If they can get this done, I think they've got a lot of things in their favour. They've got a healthy list. They've got selection integrity and select people putting their hand up. Can I play against a Carlton away from their home ground? I think this is set up for a Freo win.
Yeah, well, they've certainly done nothing wrong with regards to their opposition, nor Carlton. It's going to be fascinating to see how Alex Pearce, Luke Ryan, for instance, go against the big boys of, Mackay and Curnow. I think you're right with the list for Fremantle. It's in really good shape. Jago O'Meara has been the sub the last couple of weeks, 7 disposals when he came on against Adelaide last weekend. He's an experienced player. Whether he needs to get a full game in somewhere or whether they're happy just to keep using him in that sub position is interesting. They're going to get coming back in the waffle, not for this week, playing obviously, but with the likes of O'Driscoll returning from injury. Darcy's only a week away as well from playing AFL footy.
Yep.
They've got Warner out of concussion protocols. And importantly, they're playing with a bit of confidence. So this is the match of the round for mine in terms of the two clubs that are playing very good football.
Yeah, I agree. Caleb Marchbank will miss this one with concussion, so he's a bit of a role player for them in their back line. I think Freo really need to test them as a forward line, and they'll continue to want Luke Jackson to push forward. So that'll be on the young fella with long blonde hair, DeConing. I think that'll be a really good matchup, two young ruckmen going at each other. And I think Jackson could expose DeConing a little bit. Although they're quite similar players, aren't they? Like they've got that athletic jump and take a hanger from nowhere type style. And then the midfield battle. Like these are two very, very good midfields, aren't they? Cripps, Hewitt, Walsh, Chera.
Walsh back, is he?
No, he's not. Chera. Yeah. I'm just trying to think.
No, you're right. Yeah, they've got they bat deep. Kennedy, they've got the players that are going to give you a really good look at what Fremantle, and I think there's a bit of similarity between the two mids. They've got some real bulls in there.
Yeah. Who do you think's going to win?
I reckon it's a real 50-50. Given that you're going to tip Fremantle, I'll stick with Carlton. They've had a little bit of a wood on the Dockers in recent times. Neutral venue, though, it does become, if this is at Marvel or the MCG, I'm a little bit more comfortable with tipping Carlton, but I'm still tipping the Blues.
Alex Pearce at his best, I think he'll shut down either Mackay or Curnow. I think it'll be Mackay. And Charlie Curnow is going to be the one that if they can stop that, then they win the game. So I'm going to pick Freo, but it's going to be a good game. Going to like it. West Coast v Sydney. Mount Barker, they've got them out in the sticks. Why wouldn't you? Why would you go and watch this team play? West Coast 0-3. Sydney 3-1. Coming off what must be said as a disappointing team to a up-and-coming Richmond. I don't think they're going to challenge this year for finals. So to lose that game, Sydney will be disappointed. John Longmire confirmed this week that Taylor Adams will make his debut after an injury in the preseason. How does he fit in? I think James Jordan will come out of the mix. I watched his game pretty closely on the weekend because he's in my fantasy side, and I think they'll drop him and Taylor Adams will come into the mix there. And it makes for a pretty potent midfield that at stages against Richmond looked good, but they really didn't capitalise across the ground. They were errant by foot. They turned the footy over. This is a side that's well coached and bounces back from losses. This is a this is dangerous for West Coast.
The worst possible scenario for the Eagles heading into this game was for Sydney to get rolled at the MCG by Richmond and gives the horse a chance to really get the cattle prod out and say that is just unacceptable. They were down. They'd been up. They'd beaten some really good sides. So that's not spells great news for the Eagles. And you were there last year at the MCG when they got absolutely pantsed, humiliated, and thankfully, that's the small mercy that they're not playing them either at the SCG or GMHBA, which they did the year before as well.
Well, there was 171 points at the SCG, and albeit I had a couple of shelters under my belt, but that game was a strange one. It almost didn't feel like 171 points, but it was just a bloodbath that you kind of looked up and it was like, oh shit, like 170 points. You know what I mean? It wasn't as if it felt like they'd won by almost 200 points. It just kind of was a game that happened. No real, splutter from the West Coast Eagles, and then it was done and dusted. So
isn't it funny that the Eagles supporters become almost like they've been anaesthetised and going, well, I'm beaten by 50 points by Port, and it's like a...
under general anaesthetic.
It's like, but it's not like this is... It's almost the norm now, the accepted, which is very bad. Lock Rawlinson kicked 3 goals for the Eagles against Swans in the Waffle. Just keep an eye for him. He may not play this week, make his debut, but he's getting pretty close, I think. And that's a sort of player that I think the Eagles would like to have a look at.
So he was the number one in the rookie draft last year. So he's a part of this crop that they're trying to bring along. Playing a player like that as opposed to a Harry Barnett that they're trying to bring on as a ruckman, but it puts Harry in a really difficult position in the ruck. You can get exposed, whereas bring a Lock Rawlinson in and, maybe you get a little bit exposed, but not like you do
small
in
forward.
Run.
We had a look at him in the preseason.
Yeah.
Him and Noah Long probably buzzing around,
Correct.
If he gets the opportunity, I think that's what the Eagles have to at least explore.
Clay Hall's a chance to come in. He played his first full game in the Waffle on the weekend, so I'd like to see him play as soon as possible. He's a mature body. He's played against senior players before. And from all reports, he was one of the best performers in preseason. So as soon as he's ready, he'll be in the team. I've got no doubt about it.
Would he possibly replace a younger player who's maybe not getting as much of the footy as opposed to a senior guy?
Yeah, definitely. And they're really happy with his preseason. He's just coming back from that ankle injury. So Tyler Broppen will miss due to concussion. Gaff and Witherden will, I don't think, come back. No. They'll want them in the Waffle again. Sydney win this, Skeet. I'm not even going to ask you for your tip.
No, I'm just trying to think. What's an acceptable margin in all seriousness? Is it 60 points?
Well, what's an acceptable versus what's going to happen are two different questions, aren't they? What's an acceptable margin? Well, within 6 goals, that's acceptable. What's going to happen within 10 goals would be, that's half a good result. But what a position to be in as a footy club. You're 0-3 and you're hoping to not lose by 10 goals.
Well, the line for it's worth 54. So it's about that.
Very good. Adelaide v Melbourne, Skeeter, Thursday, Adelaide Oval. If we're talking about games that are around, I think this is big because
huge
of Adelaide's start, right? And they're playing Melbourne, who are close to the most informed team in the comp. They knock off Port Adelaide. That was at Adelaide Oval, wasn't it, Port Adelaide? So they're going back-to-back Adelaide Oval games.
I don't think they stayed over. Obviously, it's an only an hour trip to Melbourne. Yes. They would have gone home and spent 4
this
days.
This is huge. Crows lose this, and if they're not already, they're done. And so they come up against a great side at home, gather around, first game. It's big.
It's huge. And Adelaide's forward line last year, they're kicking a score. Restricted to 30-plus points against Fremantle. They haven't been able to get Tex Walker going, albeit, he shouldn't be the only bloke that's got the responsibility of getting things up and about.
You know what? I think sometimes this happens with a side that just misses and then they're looking to improve, right? So they look at their game last year, their season, and go, right, we can score.
We're thereabouts.
We need to get better on defence. And so they've spent all pre-season defending. They're trying to improve that side of the game. They forget about what they're good at, which is attacking. And then it takes you a bit to realise that, we've neglected the attacking side. They might have put a block of training in now that trying to get the attacking going, and maybe we see it in this game. But they certainly haven't been the side they were last year.
No, not at all. And for Melbourne, it looks like Stephen May's teams will be announced shortly, but right. Stephen May...
off cracked ribs and a broken vertebrae.
They're saying that he's likely to play.
Jesus.
So that's extraordinary if he does, and it's great for Melbourne. Yeah, they've been good. Maxi Gawn up against O'Brien is the the ruck contest that I'm really looking forward to. Yeah, Melbourne have done a lot right after that hiccup against Sydney, but that hiccup doesn't look so bad now, given what Sydney has produced in general. So, yeah, Melbourne's midfield, very good. Adelaide, they've got players of the ilk of Laird, of Crouch, of Dawson. Don't get me wrong, they get a bit of the footy, but I still think they need, whether it's a Rochelle to really come through the midfield, or certainly give them a bit more bravado with the game. They just look like a team that's stuck in the mud at the moment.
Yeah, they need to take the game on a bit more, don't they? So we'll see if that happens. Maybe a Dan Curtin debut could be on the cards.
Big, right?
Good for him. We see Malira and Lachie Murphy go out. Malira done for the season. Did he do his ACL or his patella?
Is that his knee? I'm not sure it's the ACL, but either way, I can't remember a start to a season where there's been as many serious knee injuries, but injuries in general, where we've just lost so many players before the season's really got rolling.
Who are we picking?
I'm going Melbourne here.
I'm going for
an upset.
A bit of a roughie, and we don't have...
You had a roughie a couple of days ago, which backfired slightly.
I was just going to say, if anyone would like to get behind our roughies of the week, we don't have that sorted at the moment. So I'm going to take a roughie of the week and go Adelaide. Given what's on the line, given it's gather around, I think they rise. Are they good enough to beat Melbourne? Maybe not, but I give them a chance, Skeet, so I'm going to pick Adelaide.
Yeah, no, well, you're pretty confident about Hawthorne 2 days ago. and you're very bubbly about them, and they were 5-1 down at quarter time.
I can let you know, ladies and gentlemen, that my picking is going absolutely shit out.
But you say it so convincingly that you almost, you know, those poor blokes sitting out there having a listen going, Scully's played footy, he covers it every day, he must know what he's talking about. Then you look at quarter time and go, this knucklehead has tipped a team that's 6-1 down.
Okay, Picasso, let's see.
The lightning strike comes.
What about you?
No, I only got five. I only got five out.
Right. So what's your excuse?
No, but
you've been in the game longer than I have.
You speak with so much authority, and half of us idiots believe you.
Brisbane v North Melbourne. You got one thing right, idiots. And you. Brisbane v North Norwood Friday. Again.
You'll be this one?
Hey.
Will you be at this one?
No, absolutely not. No.
You'll be on the shoulders.
No, side. I won't be. We've got a few interviews to do, Skater. So very much a work trip for us over there.
I'd like to track your credit card through Alexwood as well, just to see where that shows you. Hopefully nothing like Bruce.
Okay, Skate. No.
I was going to say Bruce Lerman. I won't say him.
Nick's laughing at that. I'm not heading out to Norwood to watch North Melbourne get spanked by Brisbane.
I didn't listen to what game was there, to be honest.
Of course you didn't. No, I'm not going to watch this one, Skate. It doesn't interest me at all. Both teams winless for 2024. Can you believe that? Brisbane have not had a win after a grand final last year. Will Brisbane look to shake up selection? I don't know, does he have options? Does getting away from home help them? Does it hinder them?
Will they change their WhatsApp group? I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen over there?
Skeeter's on. Skeeter's absolutely on.
Couldn't give less a rats about a game of footy, except to see if Brisbane don't respond in some fashion, surely they knock over North Melbourne.
Well, mate, if they lose to North Melbourne, you cannot tell me that Chris Fagan, his job will be in question immediately. Not under a little bit of pressure, but immediately they start the season 0-4, and one of those losses is North Melbourne. There's serious issues.
Yeah, cool. 100%. Now, whether that's
not already,
whether that's just that they're playing personnel who are out of form or whatever, you can put any reason. I was just joking about the other issue that's in play at the moment. But you're right. There has to be the microscope on him. He'll see the season out if they get rolled. But gee, you're right. If you go from playing in the grand final,
you sound confident about that.
You think he might?
If you had to give me top four coaches under pressure, he'd be one. Beveridge was under a little bit. Simpson's one, definitely. Clarkson's not. Sam Mitchell's not.
There are too many.
He's top three under pressure for mine.
Yeah, and he would have put... Yeah, exactly. I mean, Craig McRae wasn't because he's a premiership coach.
Correct.
Difference is when you finish runner-up and you go Shires. And
one kick, isn't it? One kick.
It means a world difference. Ross Lyon will tell you that.
Yeah, very good. Port VR, sorry, Brisbane?
Oh, yeah, Brisbane.
Port v Essendon, Friday night. This is another home team, Adelaide Oval, gather round. Both teams 2-1 for 2024. So both going okay. Port Adelaide get done by Melbourne last week by around a kick. Essendon... come off a win last week against St Kilda. I wasn't impressed. Watched that game. Don't think they've changed too much as a footy club, and I think this is going to be a rollover for Port Adelaide.
66 inside 50 entries by Port last weekend, and they couldn't...
They do that against Essendon, mate, and Essendon don't have the back line to stand up against
No, I totally agree with you. Essendon, I didn't see the game, but they, you know, to be fair, they managed in the last quarter to find a way through. Jackie Stringer, again, you know, they're going to rely on their absolute cream to try and stay with Port. I can't see them doing it, to be honest. I'm a bit with you here. I think Port might get hold of them on Friday night. They'll be seething because I had their run, for as you did, the start of the season pretty good and winning most of those games. Now, they've dropped one at home to Melbourne, which might not end up being... that might just be a fact that Melbourne's a very good side. But they've got to be beating Essendon and beating them well just to restore some of the belief. But, yeah, I think there's a bit of talk now that, you know, the Josh Carr succession with Ken Hinckley is starting to gather some discussion at Port. That'll only continue if they drop some matches. But I think they'll be winning this one.
Jason Horne-Francis will return from his hamstring.
How many weeks is that?
Well, no, it was the appropriate amount of weeks.
Three weeks.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Like every hamstring in the history of the world. So Ollie Wines is out with a hamstring. He'll be out for 3 weeks. This is my bugbear this year, Skate. We'll see him on the injury report. 2 weeks. Maybe questionable. No, 3 weeks for Ollie Wines, so he'll be out. They'll be happy to get Horne-Francis back in. Ollie Wines is a decent miss for them, though. Of course, Brownlow medalist. He's been playing more inside. I think it's almost a direct swap. Port Adelaide win this one, Skate.
Rosie and Butters will just... they'll have our blokes that we love watching. They'll just rack them up.
If we can tell the difference. Western Bulldogs beat Geelong Saturday night at Adelaide Oval. Geelong undefeated this season, 3-0. No one picked that. Whether you like it or not, people didn't rate them, and including you and I. Bulldogs back-to-back wins and back into a little bit of form, but one of those against West Coast Eagles, so...
And one against the Gold Coast, who were putrid in Ballarat. Well, they were terrible. They were gone early. So
they were.
I think it might be just off the top of my head. Now I have mentioned this, and you just ignored me when I said this.
Like most things, yes.
Tom Stewart, game 150, Geelong win early this year. Mm. It was 350 for the Tomahawk.
Yes.
He kicks 4, they win.
Yeah.
I think it's Mark Blixav's 200 or 250th this weekend.
Is it?
Yes. So, look, Geelong's been really good. I'm still not totally sold on the Dogs, to be honest with you.
Neither am I, but we just stay on this milestone thing. Mm. This is something I presented to you.
You did. I'm buying it.
So I've sold it to you.
And then you jumped.
I've jumped
then you walked
off.
Away from it.
You tell me what an idiot I am, and I've got no idea about the game. Yet you're now pandering this about as if it's your idea and they're undefeatable.
But you've made a point, it might have been 2 years ago, about Geelong, and they are a club that is very much driven by milestones. And then I said, you know, it's Tom Hawkins 350. And you went, oh, it doesn't matter. At that time, Sam Mitchell had this team flying. So I think off the back of that, speaking of social media, I saw something today with Rory Lobb. Have a look on TikTok.
I've seen it.
Yeah. Anyway, so he's...
Does that pass the pub test for you?
No.
Dressed up in his Western Bulldogs gear doing a TikTok.
Singing a song with his girlfriend, is that right?
Yeah, does that... Like, if that... Honestly.
How much shit would you cop at the Eagles if you did that?
I'm fines master. I'll tell you what, I'd be leading the fines. I'll tell you what, I'd lead the fines.
What would inspire him to do that?
Well, Skate, I can tell you exactly what inspired him to do that. Sometimes blokes don't think with their brains. They think with something else, and that's what the inspiration was for Roy Lobb. By the look of things, I don't know, but that's probably where I'd probably go to it, Skater.
Imagine if you and I'd cop a lot of stick over that.
I mean, could see you doing that. So we're off track here, Skate. Western Bulldogs, Geelong. Bulldogs, not really. Speaking of, Rory Lobb kicked 5 goals in the VFL. Does he make his way back into the side?
No, I'm not sure he does. Sam Darcy, I thought, was pretty decent.
You wouldn't want to be dropping Sam Darcy over Rory Lobb,
no.
From what I've seen this year. For a number of reasons,
not the least of which is his age and his TikTok skills.
Who wins it?
I'm going Geelong. I'm going to put faith in the team that I reckon they've played really well, haven't missed a beat. You know, Bulldogs, you know, Bont, will he be able to play as much forward?
He was injured last year. He was injured last week.
Okay.
He was limping. He'd had his ankle heavily jabbed. You could tell the way he was moving, and he spent a lot of time forward. He had 14 touches, kicked 3 goals at full forward.
Yep.
Jack McRae came back into the side. They rejigged that. They want to get more players through the middle of the ground. Against poor sides, that's fine. But when you play a good side, and Geelong are in good form, You need your best players in the midfield. So if he's right to go, he's your best player by a long, long way.
Yeah, but you've just raised the question whether he is. So and by the way, congratulations to Harry Gallagher, I think it was.
Yes.
2 goals, I think a dozen disposals against the Eagles, the Rising Star nomination. I'm tipping the Cats, by the way.
Okay, very good. I am picking Geelong because Mark Blitzarves is playing his 250th game and they're a milestone club.
Well done, Scully. Well summed up.
GWSV Gold Coast Sunday in the morning, 10:30. Mount Barker, again, just taking them out to the sticks. This is the Inception Club trophy. This is GWS are rolling it out like that. They're saying this is a clash of the Titans. 17th and 18th team in the competition going head-to-head. Drumming up a bit of storm on social media. I enjoy this, and I enjoyed it with the Collingwood GWS stuff, and I enjoy it with this as well. They want people to watch. They want people to be invested. They want it. They want a bit of a rivalry, and I think there is a little one that exists. It might not be huge yet, but maybe they're shooting for it.
Well, the Giants have got the runs on the board in that sense in terms of any rivalry, haven't they?
Yeah, even, correct.
You know, making a GF and making a prelim final. Giants, and look, I already know who you're going to tip here because you're so filthy about what the Gold Coast Suns dished up against the Bulldogs.
Well, and the Giants are good.
The Giants are very good. Both teams coming off a bye. Am I right on
that's
that? Yeah, so that's a... You know,
so that's null and void then if they're both coming off it, which is probably a good thing. You don't want one coming off and one without.
Yeah, totally.
Jared Witzel will enter the team. Ned Moyle was the ruckman for Gold Coast last time around, but Jared Witzel will come back into the side. That's a big in for them.
Yep, and look, I think you're right. The Giants have got the quality there. Even though the midfield of the Suns is very good, it's still, I think, you know, they bat so much deeper, the Giants, in my opinion, with who they can call on and their defence. I think, you know, every time you can look up and see Sam Taylor and Jack Buckley as your two pillars, or certainly looking after your two opposition key forwards, I think you feel pretty comfortable. So I think the Giants will ensure that they stay unbeaten, I think, is it?
Yeah, correct. They're 3-0. Nick, the black jumpers, GWS wearing that this week. I know you don't have a microphone. And are Freo wearing that this week as well? So have you seen the jumpers, Skeet? The Freo have it all black with like a purple, like sort of V.
I like that.
And then GWS have all black with like a outline
orange.
G. Yeah, orange G. And I like both of them.
I'm big on that. And I think, I agree with you. I think it's a, I think I might have seen the Dockers. Have they worn it before? They must have.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, last gathering. Yeah, I do recall it when they beat the Gold Coast. So I like it. Saying for any other reason, just
wondering your opinion on jumpers, whether you care or not.
But it's good. And you know what? We see in the EPL, clubs market different jumpers.
They got a new jumper every week.
Exactly. And then
genius.
People jump up and down if you're a Collingwood supporter about not wearing the black and white. You know, anyway.
we're both picking GWS.
Giants.
Richmond v St Kilda. Richmond coming off the big upset win against Sydney at the MCG. The Saints off a disappointing loss against Essendon. Both teams 1-2. Max King will come back in for St Kilda. That's a massive in. Tom Lynch and Noah Bolter both out.
Long term. And Liam Baker fired at the tribunal last night, so he misses with a 1 week.
They challenged that,
a high
they?
Hit on Lewis Melican.
They challenge it.
Yeah. Yeah, so
he left his feet and got him in the head. Yeah. What do they think they were going to get off that?
Bottom line is, Tigers... Really courageous. We know I'm happy for Adam Uzo because they came close against Carlton. They were very brave. That was almost their best performance. They were terrible in the first half against the Suns.
Yes.
But they've progressively, I think, shown signs. They're beaten by 30 points by Port, which it was Boakey's 350th. I think just their lack of personnel here. Dusty's still sidelined with, I think, a calf. I just don't think they've got the cattle to go to match up with St Kilda, who they must have been. Well, they dominated probably three quarters, or they had the better of Essendon.
They weren't very good, and neither were Essendon.
No, but they should have won the game.
And the worst side won in the end, Essendon. So the worst of the worst won. St Kilda probably should have won. Oh, look, I was so impressed with Richmond and their mentality, their defensive pressure. They clearly wanted to win, you know.
And you could see it. I watched the last quarter, and you could...
That sounds stupid.
They were up by a kick, and you thought, Richmond's playing like a team that... desperately wants to win it. Swans, they wouldn't mind winning it.
Yeah, which it seems strange, right? Like, of course, of course, everyone wants to win, but you can see it, and that's what, you know, if you look at West Coast, like that's what's disappointing. I think you can't see it. You can see when a side is desperate, and West Coast don't look desperate. Richmond did. They win, and they don't do anything special. But from the top, those ins and outs, and and the results. I think it's a huge up for Richmond. They'll come down from that. St Kilda lose. They'll want to bounce back. King in, Bolter out, Lynch out. St Kilda for mine by 6 goals.
Yeah, I think St Kilda will get the job done. I think I'll put that performance against Essendon down as an aberration, and Ross Lyon, he'll be working his magic this weekend.
Collingwood v Hawthorn to finish things off Sunday. It's a Sunday evening game, effectively.
Will you be there for that one, Scully?
Sunday. No, I'm coming back Saturday, actually. Skate, got a bit of work back here on the Sunday. Okay. So, is that okay?
No, I'm just trying to work out how many games you're going to get to.
I don't think too many.
Oh, really?
In honesty, just probably the Western teams, and I probably won't get to Thursday or Friday night. Can always watch it on TV like everyone else, Skate. Collingwood probably won't have any changes after a big win last week. Nick Dacos went back to the back line, and everyone seemed up and about that. Will McGuinness will be going straight to Nick Dacos, I reckon. I reckon they'll tag him. I reckon they know what he means to that footy club, and they'll tag him, and he did the job last year.
Absolutely. Pity this game isn't played at the MCG, because you might have got a bit more build-up with Jack Ginnivan.
Yes.
Taking on his former club.
He started well, by the way.
He has. There was Laura Cain's come out and said that he was not awarded a few free kicks that he should have. Then I only saw part of the game on Monday, but the times I saw him take possession or involved in those 50-50s or the high... He did initiate the contact, which, to my knowledge, the umpires are obliged to say, well, no, play on. So, but there might have been others that he was legitimately taken high. So what did you make of the noise about that?
Great. Your question. And Adam on the email, hey, Will, what are your thoughts on tackling in the game in regards to high tackles and people lifting arms? So the ones I saw, and I'm like you, I didn't see the entire game. We were prepping for our show on Friday, but on Monday, sorry. The ones I saw, there was three. He was doing the technique. He was doing the shrug, the grab. He was literally putting their arm across his neck.
Which is play on.
That's play on. So they're the ones I saw.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's more noise about others, though. So the ones I saw, I was sort of like, well, I can see why the umpire made that decision. But you're right, Laura Cain did come out and say they missed some and it was incorrectly interpreted. So what are my thoughts on it? Mate, I've always said, and it's because some of my teammates used to do it and I'd back them in, I've always said if you get the tackle wrong from a tackler's point of view and you go high, regardless if a player's ducking and diving and putting their head into you, it's a free kick. There's the ones that I wouldn't pay are the ones where they almost the front on and they put their head down into the tackler.
And Michael Walters has done that a couple of times in recent years.
You know, where they pick the ball up and then you see a tackler coming and they put their head down, and as the tackler, you're literally done.
Put the arms out.
The one where your hand's away from your body and you don't get your technique right and you're trying to tackle between the shoulder and the elbow, you're trying to put that tackle there, that's poor technique. You need to be lower. And so if a small forward can, a midfielder can expose that, I'm actually all for it. And I've seen a lot of players play with that rule and make sure that that's on our side. And I like it. I think it's a part of the game. So as a defender, did I get hoodwinked by a couple of these players? Yeah, I did. But I always used to try to go lower, get the hips. Very hard to shrug a tackle around the hips, isn't it?
I guess the problem with that is, not saying that that's an issue, but now players are so adept at if you go in the hips, they can get the handball away. It's so difficult, as you would know in the heat about it. The other quick note about Jack Ginnivan was interesting to hear what he thought about his exit interview at Collingwood with Craig McRae. Essentially, said there wasn't a lot of love.
Well, I traded him. Of course there wasn't.
Well, no, but at the exit interview, they said publicly all along they didn't want to lose him. But he said he knew at the exit interview, this is before it became public, that he was going to be traded, that there was nothing there. And even when he was overseas, the Collingwood players didn't reach out and say, mate, stay with us. Hawthorn players, mate, come and join us. We'd love to have you there. So it was just an insight. It might be just his version of events, but it was fascinating to hear how he thought it played out.
Well, the reason it's interesting, and it sounds like I'm a little bit of a Collingwood attacker at the moment, maybe I am. Craig McRae this week talking about the text messages he was throwing around after the game on the weekend and the messaging he had on the board, and then he texted some boys and he was crying in the car and talking about have you seen this?
Why was he crying in the car?
Oh, because the players came and texted him back and said they love him too. And a lot of love going around at Collingwood for a team that's, what are they, 1-3, 1-2, whatever they are. A bit too much love. And then you hear stories like that. Yeah, love's all good when you're winning, and love's all good when, you've got this team. But Jack Ginnivan, for good or bad, is walked out the door. You don't love him that much, do you? You only love the people around you. It's just hogwash. Some of the bullshit that getting rolled out from Collingwood at the moment. I'm fully in. I think it's fluff. A lot of fluff coming out of Collingwood at the moment, including that stuff from Craig McRae. Skeeter, who are you picking?
Collingwood.
So am I. Can't pick against them against Hawthorn until I see Hawthorn start playing some good footy. They're in the Essendon Gold Coast basket for me. Can't pick them until I see them any good. And Essendon still aren't out of that, by the way. Like that they're still no good.
Okay.
Just so you know. Skeeter, Will Schofield, Mark Rennings, Shot of Footy Cast. Skeet, let's get some questions from our fans. Skeet, there are a lot of them. And just reminding our fans, if you're a listener, you're watching along, make sure you catch us Thursday, 18th of April at the Leaderville Hotel from 6 p.m. Tickets in our link in bio, which is Shelter Footy Cast on Instagram, or you can jump on backchatstudios.com.au to get tickets, $20, which will get you entry plus a pint of beer on the way in. Lots of giveaways, special guests, and Skeeter will run us through his feed on Twitter, which I'm very much looking forward to. Hello, guys. West Coast have been painful to watch in the last few years. Scoey, I was wondering the difference between this team and the Wooden Spoon team of 2010. What has to change? Is Simo in trouble now? Interestingly enough, Adam, I believe. I'm writing an article on this one this week. Probably going to pen it on the flight over to Gather Round in about a couple of hours. I was thinking about this, right? Because I'm in the media now, Skeet, and I have to give my opinion, and I'm quite critical of where the club is at right now, which I think is pretty fair. I also think, am I delusional? You know, I've won a wooden spoon, being the worst side in the competition. Were we the same? Was I just so caught up in the bubble that when you're in it, you don't actually realise how bad you are? And so I started thinking about 2010. My initial thoughts on it, and I need to do a little bit more research, is I still felt like there was decent selection integrity. And what I mean by that is I still felt like there was competition for spots, even amongst young blokes. So I think about my position. In 2010, just off the top of my head, at key back, like, we would have had Darren Glass, definitely. But we had Eric McKenzie, Mitch Brown, myself, Matt Spanger. I'm sure there was more. Just at key back, there was. I played most, if not all, games that year. So maybe that was the reason why we won the Wooden Spoon. But I still think back then, with the group we had, there was competition for spots. I don't see that at West Coast right now. They're hoping they can unearth a few. I think the talent pool was bigger in 2010 than it is now. That's my initial thoughts on it. I don't know if you can remember calling it, watching it.
Yeah, definitely. I think the list back then, and obviously time tells you that, whether it's a Luke Shuey, Nick Natanui, yourself, the players that were really young coming through, that, yeah, there clearly was they had a better list potentially, and also a depth. And I think you've even said this before. I've talked about, you know, would your wooden spoon team knock over the wooden spoon team of the Eagles? You said, to be fair, by 10 goals.
Yeah.
So that's not a brag, because you're talking about two sides that were at the bottom of the table, but it shows you just how bad this current team is with regards to not just results, but, you know, you're trying to find... It'd be okay if you had five or six, seven players that you could say, well, you know, these are the guys that are going to take you into the future. Yeah. At this stage, you know, there's a minimal... You know, you've got your senior players, but there's just such a small group of young players at the moment, and that might change. At the moment, you see playing 150, 200 games for the club.
Yeah, I agree. I'll just have a little look at what the results were that year. If we could just have a little go at this one. This is from Matt Black on email. Thank you very much. I asked my wife, Skeeter, if I could sell the house and put the money on the Swans to get to the 53.5-point margin versus West Coast this week. She said no. Should I do it anyway? Seems like free money to me. Skate, can you give us a bit of a...
I wouldn't be putting the house on. Yeah, as we always say, gamble responsibly. I'm not surprised why I haven't got a bookmaker sponsoring part of this.
Beers and betting don't usually go too well, Skater.
I wish I'd been told that 20 years ago. No, I think the Swans are going to be winning by, I think 53.5 is a pretty decent. If you're going to back one team at that line, you'll be backing the Sydney Swans. That's my gut feeling. I wouldn't be putting a house on it. I don't want your marriage to go pear-shaped if somehow the Eagles kick a couple of late goals or play better than expected. But yeah, I like the confidence on Sydney, yes. but just be measured with your gambling.
I can't quite see exact record of the West Coast Eagles, but from memory, we won... here it is right here, actually. We won four games in 2010, so 1-4, and we had losses by under 10 to 5 teams when we won that Wooden Spoon.
Well, that's a world away from what we're potentially looking at.
If West Coast do that, they win four. We won two away and two home as well, and with a percentage of 77. Right now, West Coast
42.
Percentage, which and it's probably going down from the weekend. So... That's just a real basis of what I think about West Coast right now. I think they're in a pretty bad spot, Skeet. Skeet, that's us done and dusted. Happy with that?
Yeah, love it. Enjoy your trip to South Australia. I know you've got a bit of work to do. I think we're all envious because that's where the footy's going to be over the weekend and catching up with some familiar faces and watching some footy. Dream come true.
Make sure you get down. Shout out Footycast on socials. Footycast at backchatstudios.com.au. Get your tickets. Backchat Ale relaunch at the Leadable Hotel Thursday 18th. Skeeter will be there. He'll be running point and probably at the bar putting some bets on with Tap Touch as well.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.